And the recording has restarted at 9:57. Thank you, Dr. King.
Okay, thank you. So we have before us agenda item 9B. All right, I have a dog going crazy. Case number 2238, John Bott. Mindy, do you mind giving us a summary of the investigative report?
Yep, this is the first of several cases today that you'll hear related to the adjudication that you completed on case 2217 Braylon Lane. If you recall from that case, this is a pediatric home health environment. And as you adjudicated Mr. Lane's case, you identified several other PTA care providers that you opened complaints against, and Dr. Bott was one of those. It was alleged that Dr. Bott engaged in substandard care, failed to supervise PTAs under general supervision, and failed to maintain adequate documentation while treating this pediatric population in the home care setting. Dr. Bott and Mr. Carey received a copy of the draft investigative report, and it did provide a supplemental written response that was included in your materials as Exhibit 8. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 3220441, violating this chapter, board rules, or a written order as it relates to R424B.12. On each date of service, a physical therapist shall determine, based on a patient's acuity and treatment plan, whether it is appropriate to use assistive personnel to perform a selected treatment intervention or physical therapy task for the patient. And F.4, perform a reevaluation and provide each therapeutic intervention for the patient that is done on the day of the reevaluation every fourth visit or every 30 days, whichever comes first. ARS 3220444, engaging the performance of substandard care by physical therapists. ARS 3220446, failing to supervise assistive personnel, physical therapy students, interim permit holders in accordance with this chapter. And finally, ARS 3220440, failing to maintain adequate patient records. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Mr. Bott, would you like to make a statement to the board?
My attorney, Dr. Carey, or Mr. Carey, will handle that.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. King, members of the board. My request today on behalf of Dr. Bott is to consider a non-disciplinary outcome, and I want to outline the basis for our proposal. First of all, this is a case that arose in conjunction with the discipline of an owner of an agency at which licensee practiced. I think it's meaningful this didn't arise out of patient harm, or this wasn't a practice-oriented or a patient-oriented complaint. From the information we gathered in relation to the company and that Mindy gathered, it appears that there was a great deal of turnover at this company, issues with under-experienced reception and scheduling staff, really being unable to fully manage the calendars of the PTs and the PTAs. At times, this led to situations where appointments would not be properly labeled as evaluations preceding care. And because a lot of these cases were taken over from prior practices, a lot of the time the licensee did not have charting that he was accustomed to in getting into a case. In fact, there were a few instances where the chart contained just the DDD referral. Overall, I think there's a lot of evidence here that the licensee did the best he could under the circumstances to manage the lack of necessary infrastructure at the practice, and with the goal to making sure that the patients did receive the care that they deserved. I do want to talk a bit about the conclusions of law. I think it's important to note, first and foremost, that this is not a case in which there's any intentional misconduct or allegations of fraud or anything like that related to the Practice Act. This board, I think, over the years has really demonstrated it really tries to put cases into two different piles, the malfeasance, the fraud cases, and then the non-fraud cases. And I think overall, this was an agency that was at the precipice, unfortunately, and it did affect a lot of licensees and obviously a lot of patients. Regarding the substandard care, I think that this is really an instance in which licensee tried to deal with the inefficiencies and the shortcomings of this practice. I think there's no better example to this being more of a practice issue in that even when Ms. Richardson issued a number of subpoenas, the agency itself didn't respond. And it goes to that dysfunction that I think was there. Regarding the substandard care, the primary concerns listed by the IR is that the licensee provided care before an eval which is caused by not having charting. I think what's important is as soon as he found out about it, he corrected it. He got that eval done. Can't go back in time and undo it, but as soon as he found an issue, he caught it, he dealt with it. Regarding the failure to supervise, I think it's important to focus on what he did right, which is he met regularly with his PTA and he conferenced cases. If you look at the documentation that was gathered, and there's no challenge to this occurring, he was immediately available. He engaged in weekly, if not daily, meetings. He did weekly meetings for sure. And then also they did a quarterly deep dive on all of their patients. So this is a very involved PT. This is not a PT who is communicating by an occasional text. This is someone who's definitely deeply involved. In addition, this sort of brings back a theme from the previous case where there was a discussion that Board Member Bustillo mentioned, which is, again, this is a case where the PTA was hired by the company. Dr. Bott did have PTAs working with him, but when he started working with the PTAs, those were people who were retained by the agency. I also note that he did take 6.25 hours of CEU related to practice supervision of ethics. And then I think the other thing that makes this case somewhat unique is that a licensee not only did attempt to conform his practice, but he attempted to conform the agency's practice. It was something of a Herculean effort, unfortunately, but what he tried to do is, according to the IR, spent time attempting to help the agency with logistics and some of the areas that he felt improvement. And that's consistent with the APTA Code of Ethics, which encourages PTs to promote organizational behaviors and business practices. The other thing that I think he did right here is he left the practice when it became untenable. I think he did his best to work within the organization, and he put in good faith to try to right the ship. And when it didn't work, he left. And I would suggest that the board think about that as mitigating, because I believe the board wants to incentivize and motivate PTs when they see something wrong in an organization to try to fix it. And so I think that really does serve as a mitigator in this case. Finally, I know the board doesn't work off of precedent like the lawyers on the board and I do, where there's precedential value, but I do think it's important to recognize that you did have one of these from last month with a PTA. It did resolve with a non-disciplinary after a little bit of back and forth voting, but it was end up being non-disciplinary. So by way of outcome, given that licensee wasn't the owner of the practice, took steps both during the practice and afterwards to mitigate. And given the lack of what I would consider to be malfeasance or fraud, lack of evidence of patient harm, I'd ask that the board consider a non-disciplinary outcome on this matter. As he has been with Mindy, Dr. Bott is here. He's ready to answer questions. And I think that the IR has developed enough for a discussion on this one, but he's available for you. And I'm here, obviously, for any legal concerns from our side.
Dr. King, you're muted.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carey. Mr. Bott, the board members may ask you some questions. Is that okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. Are there any questions for Mr. Bott before we discuss?
I guess my question would be, Mr. Bott, can you tell me about what this experience has taught you? I mean, what have you learned from this?
A lot. The continuing education has its own piece of my learning from this. You know, there's documentation on top of ethics. And so there were a lot of reminders and key points to enhance and promote better documentation for both me and the patient. Outside of that, I think your question was kind of asking the process of being with the board, undergoing an investigation and really diving deep into how I practice, why I do what I do. And I think intentional is the word I've kind of taken away from this, that not only do I need to be intentional in the setting with the patient, with my hands on, with my actual interaction, but much more intentional that my documentation reflects the amount of care and effort I put into the treatments. it was apparent to me reviewing the information that Ms. Richardson supported that I agree my documentation can improve, and I do feel like I'm making and ready to continue to make steps to help that support my practice.
Can you tell me about like not only the board process, but just the experience you were in with this company that I think the board has been fairly clear. We're not super thrilled with the way this company was operated. Your experience being there, working there, and then getting out. Can you talk to me about kind of what that has taught you and how that experience has changed your professional actions and career now?
Yes, sir. Thanks for clarifying. I got into the, I think it's all in there, but when I get into the company kind of May, it was the height of COVID. It was a move for my family, and to make a jump like that, I felt like I vetted the owner. I felt like I vetted PTs who were there and kind of trusted my desire to jump and work with that company. Early on, I recognized that it wasn't particularly my area of expertise and noticed that the owner was responsive to my desire to be educated and trained and implement some changes. I don't remember the exact numbers, but I believe I was one of the first like single digit employees in the physical therapy side. Within 2 to 3 months, I believe that number maybe doubled, possibly tripled, along with a lot of turnover. I'm highlighting this just to say walking into a company that feels like a startup, looks like a startup, and has a lot of these areas that need attention. I recognize now that I need to proceed into a job like that with a little more caution, maybe vet a little bit more, and see what I can do to raise the level of a company that operates that way. I do feel I tried to implement change, one of them being with the 3 visits and every 4th visit requirement with the PTA. I tried to implement a shadowing policy where if we were to flip schedules, I could observe the PTA treating and they could observe me, so there was direct contact. Again, I recognized the company had some errors, but the owner was willing to pay and support that. So I saw that with some intention and drive, I can maybe implement a change at a structural level that maybe supports the company. So that's kind of what I learned while I was in it. I had a child and a pregnant wife on the way and COVID, and it was not the time for me to tackle that company as a whole. And as Mr. Carey alluded to, it was time for me to remove myself from that company when I left. It was too much and felt like there was too much going on that I didn't have control over. I'll end that with Ms. Richardson showed me in one of our interviews, there were some documents that were signed by PTAs with me as a supervisor that I was completely unaware of. And that was about the time that it was time for me to work out and find a new job. I hope that answered your question.
It actually does. So I guess, you know, one of the things that I am concerned about is I want folks who are interested in trying to fix these organizations to speak up. Do you think you are, do you think you've learned about how kind of the process through which you can do that? That's probably a poor question, but do you kind of understand where I'm going with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you mean would I report this in the future type of thing, or would I try to get more people involved? I'm not sure if that's what you mean.
I'm just kind of asking, you know, you've clearly been through this and it sounds like you tried to make some changes. And I guess what I'm asking is, have you learned, you know, would you do anything different? Would you be more aggressive about it? Well, you know, hindsight being what it is, what would you have done differently?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I've never submitted a complaint to the board. I wasn't too familiar with the depth of this process. To be very honest, life was busy enough at the time that thought really did not cross my mind, I'll be honest. Now I'm aware of the use of that tool, if that's the right way to say it, and how I can push this to you all and people who deal with this on a more consistent basis. So I think I learned that I might be able to implement some groundwork, but if there's enough wrong or enough that is inappropriate, I need to maybe level up or manage up my expectations and my comments.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Bott.
Yes, sir.
Ms. Bott, it's Kelly King. Are you supervising PTAs now?
No, ma'am. I'm not.
Okay. Are you still in pediatrics?
No, ma'am. Outpatient ortho is primary treatment area.
Great. Thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions for Mr. Bott? Okay. If there's no more questions for him, then we will go into deliberations. Did you want to make a final statement, Mr. Bott, to the board before we discuss?
No, just I've been, it's been aware how much time and effort you all put into this and my prep for these meetings and stuff. So thank you for what you do for the physical therapy community as a whole. I do see and understand deficiencies, and I'm actively trying to remediate the areas that I can improve on. As I kind of said in my opening, I'm confident in the care I deliver, that I really try to be above the standard. I'm recognizing that documentation reflecting that is a massive part that I didn't hold to my standard at the time. So I just wanted to reiterate that, and thank you all for your time.
One more question for you. Sorry. Can you just clarify for us what CEUs you did take? What courses did you take?
Yes, ma'am. I believe they're listed at the bottom. Would you like titles or just?
Just areas and how much time?
Yeah, for sure. I think it was a total of 6.25 hours. There were one or two in there that didn't achieve any hours. I had 3 on defensible documentation, quantifiable documentation improving, 3 on reflective practice, clinical mentorship and supervision. And then, I have a culturally responsive and ethics. So I tried to hit a couple areas that I thought were addressed by the complaint.
Great, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. All right, board members, what are your thoughts? I think that we have discussed a couple of different times at this agency was just a really poorly run agency, and a lot of, sounds like, therapists and professionals got caught up in a really bad practice. I applaud him for recognizing that it wasn't going where he needed it to go and stepped out. I would have loved the next step of letting the board know that there's a practice that's really making some bad decisions for their employees. So maybe next time, and hopefully there won't be one. But just understanding that we hold each other accountable in this profession as well. And seeking help outside of what you have the power to do would be great. I tend to agree that a non-disciplinary, although he's taken CEUs, so I don't know that we would do non-disciplinary for additional CEUs. My thoughts are not taking a disciplinary direction. But what are your thoughts, Mr. Greer and Dr. Bustillo, Mr. Barton?
I agree with you, Dr. King, that Karen.
Okay.
I think this is a non-disciplinary case. I also kind of agree that I'm not sure any additional CEUs are necessary, but I'll wait to hear from the other members of the board.
I would absolutely agree. I feel this is non-disciplinary. I feel like when all of these things, even before they were brought to Dr. Bott's attention, he's made the effort to remediate in the areas that we would have asked him to. And so I feel like however we can move away from this without discipline would be in order.
Yeah, I agree with the rest of the board. I see a lot of attempts by Mr. Bott to do the right thing here. While I agree with Dr. King that, you know, for lack of a better term, the A-plus response would have been to let us know as well. It seems clear to me that he when he recognized the problems, attempted to address them, which is within the scope of what he is expected to do. So I agree, non-disciplinary. My only kind of thought was documentation, and it looks like the documentation CEUs have been done. And so I agree. I don't know that there is a I don't know that there's additionally CEUs that I think need to be done. So I guess what kind of I'm wondering about is, do we, if we don't think there are additional CEUs, is this just a candidate for dismissal, or do we do some kind of a letter of concern, but I'm not quite sure what we're concerned about.
In the past, you have done non-disciplinary orders, but then accepted within the context of the document, you've accepted what he's already done as part of the satisfying the order.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
So I guess then I would move that we do a non-disciplinary order accepting the CEUs that have been previously done. And do we, Mindy, do we order the 6.25 hours of CEU, or do we just accept the CEUs that have already been completed?
I'm going to defer to Mark on that. It's been a while since we've done something like that.
What I would do, Mr. Barton, members of the board, is just, you know, move to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, specifically specify what hours and areas of continuing education that you want, and then indicate that he can submit what he's already taken since being notified of the board's complaint in satisfaction of those continuing education requirements.
Okay.
And in addition, I'd also like it just to make sure we clarify that those CEUs are not eligible for renewal of his
correct
license for this term. Yep.
Okay, so then what I will do is I will move that we do a non-disciplinary order for continuing education in the amount of 6.25 hours in the areas of scope of practice, supervision of others, including PTAs, and ensuring complete and defensible documentation. Dr. Bach can submit hours he has previously done to fulfill that requirement, and whatever hours are submitted will not be used for renewal purposes.
Second.
As is typical in a case like this, I understand that he has some CEUs that will probably, you know, satisfy this requirement, but typically in the order we give a time frame in which to do so. So how long would you like to provide?
Dr. Bond, how quickly do you think you can get us that information?
It's on the investigative report, but I can email it when I'm done with this meeting. I'd be happy to get it as soon as possible.
Okay. Why don't we provide 1 month for him to get that done? And I think that'll be more than enough from what Dr. Bond's telling us. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for the vote?
Yes, ma'am.
Perfect. In case 2238, John Bott PT, it's been moved and seconded to issue a non-disciplinary order to include continuing education, which shall be completed within 1 month. Courses must be pre-approved, may be completed online, and do not count towards renewal requirements. And they shall be completed in the area of scope of practice, supervision, and documentation for a minimum of 6.25 hours. Credit previously earned by the respondent after the notice of complaint may be submitted to satisfy the hours ordered. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bott. The staff will be in touch with you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mr. Carey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we have Sarah Stark on, so if
And McClellan is also on for the next case too, just FYI.
Thank you. Okay, so then we'll move to the next case. I was trying to make sure that we're sensitive to counsel and their schedules, but we'll go then with agenda item 9C, Melissa Schaefer, PT. This is case number 2240. Is Ms. Schaefer on the call with us as well?
I believe she is. I don't know, Melissa, are you muted?
I see her.
Oh, yeah.
She is muted.
She is.
Oh, Josh, hang on 1 second. Josh, you have a question? Okay. It's probably an accident. All right.
I think Mr. Greer just logged off. He may be logging off and logging back on.
Okay. Let's give him 1 second to get back on. Oh, there we go.
And Dr. King, my screen is acknowledging some internet issues, so I've turned off my camera to help buffer that.
All right, thank you. Ms. Schaefer, I don't know if you were on the call when we went through the process, of how to do an initial review. So we'll start first with Ms. Richardson giving us a summary of the investigative report, and then we'll ask if you want to make a statement, and then we'll ask you questions.
Okay. The board opened case 2240 after adjudication of case 2217 Braylon Lane, same company as the previous case. It's alleged, though, that Ms. Schaefer engaged in substandard care when she instructed a physical therapist assistant to complete a neuro screen following the patient having an injury. Ms. Schaefer and her attorney received a copy of the draft investigative report and provided a supplemental written response that was included as your Exhibit 9. The potential violations cited in the investigation report included ARS 32-2044, engaging in the performance of substandard care by physical therapists due to deliberate or negligent act or failure to act regardless of whether actual injury the patient is established. The physical therapist assistant in question, you are in process of adjudicating. That has not been, it was heard initially, but then moved to informal hearing. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. McClellan or Ms. Schaefer, would you like to make a statement to the board?
Yes, I'll make a statement and then Ms. Schaefer will be available for questions. So as noted, this is a very similar situation to the matter you just adjudicated. It's the same employer. Ms. Schaefer joined this, it sounds like, probably right after Mr. Bott transitioned out. She's transitioning in. So she moved to Arizona. So she's new to the state of Arizona. We're in the middle of at the height of the COVID pandemic. We're in July and August of 2020. When she interviewed with the company, they were not honest with her about what the job would entail. She had home health experience and she was told that she would be seeing VA or adult patients. When she got to work and after she started, she was told it was a pediatric population. To try to prepare for that on her feet, she did a lot of self-study, peer consultation, and education related to the care of pediatric home health patients. And unfortunately, because of the chaos of the situation, this was really an unfortunate perfect storm when she started. A lot of the issues she didn't even know about. It was hard to identify some of the corporate structure issues as she was practicing. Because this is a home health, she's spread across the country. She's spread across the state, across the Phoenix metro area, sometimes an hour and a half away from different patients. And she was the victim of the systemic failure. She wasn't told. She never knew that she was being listed as a supervising PT. And the way this documentation system worked, there wasn't a transparency for her to see that. She didn't have access to the PTA schedules. No one told her that she was the supervising PTA, but the incident in question, the PTA called her and she was far away. She didn't know she was supervising, but she took the call to be a resource. And she was informed that the patient had already been cleared by an ER doctor and CT testing, that there were no injuries and he was cleared for normal activities. But the PTA, she did walk through with the PTA a screening. It wasn't a full evaluation, but it was a screening step by step where she told the PTA, here's what I recommend you do. Tell me exactly how the patient reacts and back and forth. But unfortunately, she couldn't be there in person. She thought she was just being a resource to this PTA. There was no harm done to the patient. It was accurate that the patient was safe to proceed and there was no harm done. And so what we're asking for in this case is to look at the mitigating factors, because we all believe that this is also a non-disciplinary outcome situation. When she began identifying some of those systemic issues, she tried to step in and make administrative changes. So when she would bring up to the attention of the owner some of the concerns, they would make some changes that would be in place for a little while, and then those changes would go away related to the scheduler and how, you know, they were switching EHR record systems constantly. But in addition to just being a victim of the systemic system here that was failing the PTs and the PTAs, this is not a situation that'll be repeated for her in the future. This is a physical therapist who's taken it upon herself to try to educate herself when she became aware of what the issues were. So in addition to doing the formal continuing education that we submitted, which was included ethics and supervision of PTAs, she's now in a very, she's left that practice, and she's also now in a very supportive system. And we submitted letters of support from her current supervisor and a coworker PTA to show you that this has been a learning experience for her. So she did self-study as well, so that she read the regulations on supervision and the statutes on supervision and what's required in Arizona, rather than just assuming she could rely on this employer to be telling her the truth about what is or what is not required. This is not a case where you have a provider who had really poor documentation. So Ms. Richardson told her during her interview that, yeah, I can follow your documentation and see what was being done. There are references to, you know, PTAs continuing on under the plan of care. It's not perfect, but it is better than what you've seen with some of the other providers caught up in this system. And she as well is, I think, able to talk to you intelligently about what she's learned, if that's a question you've had for her. She's in a system, she doesn't really have supervised PTAs in her current setting, but from time to time she does. And she communicated, I think, very well, looking at her interview, how she does that, which is daily communication with the PTA, checking in, making sure and reviewing the documentation and plan of care, ensuring that the PTA has the proper license and hours before they're involved in any patient care, for on the unusual circumstance that that has to be part of her current job. And so we're asking you look at those mitigating factors for her, that not only was she caught up in a really chaotic, unfortunate situation during moving to Arizona and COVID, but she did try to affect change at the employer. And when she couldn't, she moved on. It's also notable that it was a really difficult job market during that time, as I'm sure a lot of you will remember, because COVID impacted who was coming in for PT care and those kinds of things. So when she took this job, she'd applied for, you know, tens of employees, and I don't know, more than 20 different jobs, and this was the one she did. So it was a difficult situation that she was put in. And we ask you look at the totality of it, and consider that she's completed education, 5 hours of education in both ethics and supervision, because there wasn't a documentation violation noted here, that you give her credit for that and have a non-disciplinary outcome. And she's available for questions if you'd like to ask her anything. So thank you.
Dr. King, this is Josh Greer. I had computer problems.
Oh, Josh, you're breaking up a little bit.
I'm sorry. I had computer problems, so I joined via phone.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Schieffer?
So this is Mr. Barton. Ms. Schieffer, I'm going to ask you essentially the same questions I asked Dr. Bott earlier. But you've been through this experience. Can you tell me what the actual experience of working in this environment and attempting to make whatever changes you attempted to make has taught you?
I think the primary thing that I've picked up from this process, because again, this complaint actually stems back to one, is the professional responsibility to as an individual and not relying on an organization. I had come from another state in Michigan where the rules were different, so I was very familiar because I had just taken the jurisprudence exam, but I had an expectation that an organization would obviously be up on the rules and put processes in place. And what I understand now from going through that practice is that that is not necessarily true, and that while we've always said it always falls on me as the licensee to follow the rules individually, I had never been put in a situation where organizationally, systemically, you were in at risk of not following the rules. So that it took me several months really to figure out how the dots weren't connecting. And I was not, I had never had any interaction with the state board throughout my 20 some years in Michigan and Indiana practice. So I think that, and also as a result of that, I joined the, I'm a volunteer for the practice committee for the APTA for the state of Arizona, and have really been active with them since last November. And their whole goal is to educate therapists in throughout the state of Arizona, anybody practicing at all, on what are the exact statutes and what are our responsibilities individually. So I've really enjoyed learning what some of those, how that plays out in different clinical situations. I'm still practicing in home care, but I have had the opportunity to interact with therapists in multiple different settings throughout the state as a result of working with that committee.
Thank you, Ms. Schaefer.
Thank you. Ms. Schaefer, just one question from me. So you're still in home health care. How would you handle the situation if you were called by a PTA that you did not know you were supervising and they needed help to continue to work with a patient? What would you do different this time?
My first question would be, who is your supervisor today?
And if they said you?
And if they said me, I would, boy, that's a great question. I would, so I'm assuming if they're calling me with the question, like Heather called me in a patient's home in front of a patient, and I think I would need to put eyes on the patient at this point rather than having her go forward with anything. I think at the time I was just trying to kind of salvage that patient contact.
Sure.
You're right there. Tell me what you're seeing. I wish that I had done at least a Zoom call with her at that point, because we did use Zoom as a tool in that company. So I could have at least put eyes on the patient and had a conversation with the caregiver. I did talk to his primary caregiver, who is his grandmother, the next day, to confirm that he was still, you know, functioning normal for him, and confirm that he was all right. And the following visit after that was done by Braylon Lane as a supervisory visit. But if a therapist called me and I was not familiar with the patient, I would ask them to discontinue the treatment, and I would call a scheduler and see if I could be switched to the visit for that day.
Thank you. Any other questions for Ms. Schaefer? Okay. At this time then, Ms. Schaefer, do you have any last statement to make to the board before we deliberate?
I do appreciate the process that I've gone through, even though it is definitely a stressful time to review and to have any of your practices questioned, but I think it, as I've certainly learned a lot, and I hope that I can be a resource to others around me, and I appreciate what you do. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the board, I'll make a motion and then we can discuss. I'd like to move that we offer Ms. Schaefer a non-disciplinary board act order for CEUs, accepting the CEUs that she has taken in ethics and in supervision. I believe I saw that it was 3 and 3 hours. I'll go back up to the top. With 30 days of giving her 30 days to resubmit those in response to this board order.
Second.
Okay. So we have a board, a motion and a second. Let's discuss. Does anyone have any other thoughts or questions or ideas?
You know, the only thought that I had is, for what Ms. Schaefer has done, I think she did say, it would have been better to do Zoom. I appreciate that, but I do think, I want to make clear that I'm not, at least my perspective is I'm not super critical of her trying to do some kind of an evaluation on the patient who she found out had had a fall earlier. And it does seem like she was really trying to do the right thing. And so, I see that and just think that's important to make clear for our record.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can certainly appreciate the situation she found herself in with a PTA calling her and wanting to, try not to impede the therapeutic intervention for that day. I do appreciate that she did say that she would ask the PTA to leave until a PT could see the patient. That should do over again. I also appreciate that she's trying to turn this challenging situation into an opportunity to educate other therapists by getting involved in the Arizona Physical Therapy Association Practice Committee to try and bring light to these things. I'm hoping that we see less complaints at the board because of her efforts in educating professionals. Any other thoughts, though, or would you like to call a vote and then see where we are? Dr. Bustillo, do you have any thoughts?
I actually agree with the conversation that I've heard. I feel like it's very similar. I really applaud Dr. Schaefer for doing everything that she's done to help the profession not involve themselves in similar situations. And so very happy with the steps that she's taken.
If there's no other discussion, then Judy, I think we're ready to call a vote.
Just a point of clarification, based on what I'm tabulating in the investigative report that I've seen, it looks like 3 hours of ethics and 2 hours of supervision were needed for a total of 5 hours. Was there more than that, or is
nope,
that?
That was it. Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought it was 3 and 3, but it's 3 and 2.
And that's sufficient with the order that your motion.
I'm comfortable with that. Or Karen, okay. Yep. Josh Greer, are you comfortable with five? Okay. Pardon?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And who actually seconded that motion?
It was me, Mr. Barton. Oh.
Thank you.
It was both the Joshuas.
I'll have you flip a coin later. Okay, so in case 2022, Melissa Schaefer, PT, it has been moved and seconded to issue a non-disciplinary order to include continuing education, which shall be completed in 1 month. Courses must be pre-approved, may be completed online, and do not count towards renewal requirements. The continuing education shall be completed in the area of ethics and supervision for a minimum of 5 hours. Credit previously earned by respondent after the notice of complaint may be submitted to satisfy the hours ordered. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
That motion passes.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Ms. McMullen. The board staff will be in touch with you. And then, board members, I'd like to suggest maybe a 10-minute comfort break. How do you feel about that?
Sounds good.
Great. Judy, are you okay that we take a 10-minute break?
Absolutely. It is 10:41 right now. I will stop the recording, and we will be on break until 10:51.